Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Kevin McCullough, breaking news as it happens. Still updating you on what's going on in Midtown. Traffic's awful. You knew it was going to be that way because of the weather. It's even worse because of the helicopter accident this afternoon. But we continue to keep our eye on it for you, and glad to be able to keep you up to date on that. One fatality was the pilot. The fire is out. The fuel in the helicopter, they are trying to contain that, of course, obviously. But details as they develop.
I was just talking to Jim Garrity, and we were talking about the Mexico tariff coin flip and who won and so forth. You know, last week I reported that the New York Times reported on Thursday, and they did. It was in their briefing. They said U.S.-Mexico making headway on potential deal to avoid tariffs. On Friday, the president announces it. On Saturday, they release a story that says, oh, well, we already knew that they were going to do all that stuff. That's just, and of course, the truth is that some of it had been pledged but hadn't been started, and that's part of what those negotiations were about. But all that to say that even when the New York Times gets it right, sometimes they just have to be a little bit crabby and come back and still show a bias in what they're doing. Anyway, Carol Markowitz is with us. She doesn't write for the Times. She writes for the Post. And we're glad to have her every week. Her column runs on Mondays. Normally she joins us on Tuesdays, but because of kids and school and the end of year stuff, which the McCullough household is totally inundated with right now, we decided to let her come on today. And Carol, I was reading your Twitter feed earlier today, and I want you to know that the world has some good men out there. I am a subway stander. I stand on that subway. And I stand for the same reason that your incredible husband does, and all good men do, because if there are seats on the subway, they belong to the fairer among us.
Yeah, you know, both my husband and my brother have mentioned it to me in the past that they don't sit on the subway, but like today I got to see it. I commuted with my husband into the city today, and so I got to see him. I was like, look, there's seats. He's like, I know, but he's like, women are going to get on, and I'm just going to stand up, so I may as well just stand. And I was really proud of him. I thought that was great. And of course, I'm getting comments on Twitter like, what, women can't stand themselves? Of course we can. Of course we can. But it's just chivalrous, and I like that he's doing it for the women of the world.
Well, I've never understood some of these arguments. Like, you're really dying to open your own door. Okay, fine. Like, we want to.
Right.
We want to as a sign of respect, but you somehow take it personally.
I love having the doors open for me. Please continue to open the doors, men of the world.
Well, and you even wrote that really good piece about how sometimes your husband can order for you, and like that, how cool that is sometimes. So I don't always do that because my bride, she's got a more specific palate than me. So like I'd probably get some of that wrong. But if she's told me ahead of time, sometimes I'm able to order for her. Let's talk. So Jim Garrity said that he was originally thinking the Mexico tariff threat was going to go really bad, and then it turned out probably to be a win. How's Carol Markowitz sizing up the near media blackout of all the mainstream people saying Trump lost? He had to renege on his tariffs, when in reality it looks like he got him to the table and got a deal done on some stuff.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about Donald Trump, right? I disagree with tariffs, but if his tariffs end up getting him the results that he wants, I find that hard to disagree with. I think tariffs are, in general, a bad economic policy. But if he's using it to get something from Mexico and he gets that and then the tariffs go away, can I really say that those tariffs didn't work? It's hard to.
Yeah.
Would I want tariffs to be part of our economic policy going forward with a number of countries? No, I'm a free trade absolutist. I want to see free trade with as many countries as possible. But look, can I argue with the fact that this is a win for him? I can't.
Yeah. Well, and because they're neighbors, sometimes countries have multiple layers of issues with us, right? So if we can get, in essence, the southern border moved down to their southern border and really shut off the flow of the caravans at the Guatemala-Mexico border, that's a win for us. And right. And you know, if you've got 6,000 more National Guard that are going to be sheriffing it, and if you've got, you know, now an agreement to say, hey, you're going to be required to seek asylum in the first country you come to, not after you skip four and get to the U.S. Like, I think there's some genuine win in there for us that's going to long term create a better relationship between Mexico and the U.S., especially since the tariffs aren't going to end up going into effect.
Right. But what I've read about it, and of course, it's all kind of fluid and could be changed, but Mexico is not actually agreeing to keep the migrants. They're basically not saying that they're going to force the migrants to apply for asylum in Mexico, but they will let the migrants wait out their U.S. asylum in
right.
Mexico, which,
right.
you know, I guess is a step in the Trumpy, you know, immigration direction. So
I also like that they agreed to freeze the monetary assets of the people funding the caravans, because I think those, and if that's the George Soros type guy, I think those are the real troublemakers to begin with, because I think a lot of this is incentivized. Anyway, well, thanks for giving me your thoughts on that. I was dying to see what you were thinking after this weekend. Your piece today is very interesting. Tell us why you chose to write about it.
So I kept seeing these pieces, like, give 16-year-olds the right to vote, and I oppose that, but I'm not, like, a passionate opponent of not giving 16-year-olds the right to vote. But the more I saw these pieces, the more I saw it wasn't just 16-year-olds, obviously. So the left is sort of starting with 16-year-olds, but then they're extending Bernie wants to give inmates the right to vote. Now, I'm in favor of, after somebody serves their time, after they get out of prison, reinstating their right to vote. That is, to me, a basic and easy decision. I think you should be granted the rights of your citizenship once you've served your time. But they are saying people actually in jail should be voting, and that's just crazy. And then the next level of crazy is then people are saying, well, why should you have to be a citizen to vote? If you live in America and you're not a citizen, the policies of the government still affect you. Non-citizens should be able to vote. And then even further, people are saying, and this is in major newspapers, this isn't like kooks on the internet, you know, this is like in the LA Times, this is in the British Independent. So in the British Independent, there was a woman who argues that because American policy has so many effects on countries around the world, other people in other countries should actually vote in our elections. And you know, all of this is happening because Donald Trump won. It's not that they want to expand voting rights to as many people as possible out of the goodness of their heart. They are still bitter and angry and damaged from the fact that Donald Trump won the 2016 election. And this is the way that they're lashing out, trying to figure out a way to not let that happen again.
Same thing with the Supreme Court. We don't like the current makeup, so let's put 25 judges on it. You know, it's
yeah,
we lost
the Electoral College. We don't like that.
We lost, so we want to change the rules. And that's basically like what the guy that lived up the street when I was growing up did. If he started losing and we were playing baseball or whatever, he just changed the rules, or he just take his bat and ball and go home. And that's kind of the modern Democratic Party. That's who they are.
Yeah.
All right, so check out her column, Drive to Let Kids, Inmates Vote, Just Another Sign, The Left is Nuts. Carol Markowitz, always good to have you.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thanks.
And stand on the subway for crying out loud. Kevin McCullough, coming right back.